Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. You're not going to believe this. Mm-hmm. The Southern Baptist leader warns at a Southern Baptist convention recently, warns that he says that the Bible Belt, which they talk about the Bible Belt in America, is collapsing. Listen here, when you hear Reverend Russell Moore, and this, remember the word that God gave me some time back about this, like, we got to wake up. We have to wake up. Listen up.
Break. The new president of the Southern Baptist Convention's public policy organization says the Bible Belt is collapsing. The Reverend Russell Moore says Bible-believing Christians increasingly will be forced to choose whether they will follow God or the nation's leaders. And he says, we are not Americans first. We belong to another kingdom, and we will stand and speak for that kingdom. Moore is the head of the SBC's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission.
Think about that. It's like, what a concept. That's CBN News reporting. Did you know that the first thing the Lord tells us, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, he says, seek first the kingdom of God, the king's dominion. Seek the kingdom of God. And you think about that, that now it takes all of our nation to be going to crumble down around us and for us to get the revelation, listen, we are not of this world. We've been bought with a price. And I just thank God for Reverend Russell Moore, who stood up as a leader in the Southern Baptist Convention to say, listen, you know, and you've heard us talk about it, and you can hear about America. How did we get here, and how do we stay here? I mean, you can hear that on VFN Radio and be made available to. It's available to you right now on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. Listen, it was the kingdom of God first, and then the kingdom of America came second. And it's not even a kingdom; it's a nation under God. The king of America would be Jesus, because it's one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So it's a byproduct of men and women who sought the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. What? I don't know, 50 states, food, blessing, the breadbasket of the world, the largest financial blessing in the world, homes, and the richest, the poorest are the richer than 80% of the world's population. All these things will be added to you. And now all of a sudden we're going to stop seeking the kingdom of God.
Right.
And he tells us very specifically that the kingdom of God is the end time message, which means if the enemy wants to stop, if the enemy wants to stop the coming or delay the coming of the Lord, would begin to delay or stop the teaching and the manifestation of the kingdom of God in the hearts of men. Stop preaching your kingdom. Your concepts, your ideas, your building program. I mean, come on. He said the kingdom of God will be preached to all, and then the end will come. You are delaying his coming, and you don't know. Don't tell people you know when he's coming. Jesus don't even know. You got people sold out into darkness because you told them he's not coming back for so many years. And you got other people not doing squat because they think he's coming back tomorrow. The truth is, he could be tomorrow or 50 years. You got to live like he's going to come back today and work like he's not coming back for 100 years. Listen, we are called to be a part of the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, just because if we say we're, if we got a part of America called the Bible Belt, listen, 81% of born-again believers, according to George Barna, are not even reading the Bible, that the belt that they say they actually have. I mean, it's a very interesting that it's called a belt. Because if you've been in the area, it's like, oh, my God, I think I felt that thing. Because the truth is, if you read it instead of hit somebody with it, you find out that there's life, love, forgiveness, and expectations from God. That we don't worship the Bible of God, but the God of the Bible. And he says he loves you. He's got a plan for your life, but he expects something from you, but you don't have to. And you can walk away and walk straight into the pits of hell. But if you claim to be his, then you love me. Then you love your neighbor. Then you pray for your leaders. You speak truth in love. You don't not speak truth, but you speak truth in love. You're friends with fellow believers. There's one church, one Lord, one God, one Spirit. We're all working together under his leadership, when we get together, the reason why we say amen is not because we didn't think of something to say. It's because we all heard from him and we all read his word. And when somebody said something that bared witness with Jesus Christ in our heart, the amen goes, yes, that's exactly right. Amen means that's right. It's a confirmation that what's taking place right there. Listen, I truly believe I have great hope for the Bible Belt. I have great hope for and belief for if we humble ourselves for a third great awakening. Think about it, as we talked about, and you got to hear, if you have not yet heard America, how we got here and how we stay here, you need to hear it because it'll help you understand that America was led, was literally, if you would, 150 Bibles were printed because they didn't have, they literally wrote them out by their hands, by a pen and all, a quill and pen to top it off, because they didn't have printing presses and all. And it produced a movement that eventually brought about freedom around the world, but it definitely brought about America. And here we are today, that if you begin to stop preaching your kingdom and start preaching the kingdom of God, every single tape, every single CD, every single download, every single song, my goodness, quit singing songs about adultery and start singing songs about loyalty and onward Christian soldier, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Don't send one more, oh my gosh, I'm going to cheat on you, Jesus song, you know, and, you know, thank you for forgiving me again. You know, we do want to have a balance there, but come on, we got to have songs of saying, listen, it's time for us to march out. I mean, like when you think about the founder of Salvation Army.
General Booth.
General, I mean, think about the whole world shook with this man. And today we have remnants of his ministry, Salvation Army. But that man that just stood up and said, listen, we have to go. And they weren't aggressive. They were not physical. They were spiritual soldiers in regards to allowing people. He would wear two suits. He would wear two suits. And it was a military uniform, but it wasn't a military in context of a secular mindset in battle. It was a soldier for God. And he'd wear two suits. Why? Because when he would march down the street, and in the name of Jesus, and proclaiming and serving and feeding the poor and doing everything that Jesus does and his body does that loves him, is that they would spit on him. They would spit on him. They would, is this not right? They would
throw eggs at him, garbage at him,
in a uniform, because he understood it was a spiritual battle, a spiritual war, and you would love those that hate you and pray for those who despitefully use you. And what he would do is he would take that particular uniform jacket off and he'd put the other one on so he could preach the gospel with a clean one. One man, Booth, William Booth, right? And they honored him. They honored this dude, this man, this man of God, in the streets of England. They just had a big, I mean, this one man, what did he do? He did exactly what God's word says do. He preached the kingdom of God. Don't define William Booth and what he said then, but what we're seeing now, but realize the fact that any fragments of his ministry at all are anywhere in the earth, and it is all over the earth, is saying, whoa, that man gave it all. Listen, you got to stop preaching your kingdom. You have to stop building your kingdom. You have to listen. The price is it all. You have to give it all, every bit of it. It cost you everything, and believe me, people were willing to take it. But you know what? God will begin to restore it. I know this to be true. I've seen it. Those who finally let go of all the religion and all the expectations and all the things they thought they had to do that was really stuff that they built, as soon as they let it go, they don't have anything to hang on to. They're saying, God, I trust you, even if it's gone. God begins to bless them with jobs and homes and cars, and he gives them everything. And then he begins to use them and he confirms his word with them, with science. He works with them in their ministries, and it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Is it not right? Listen, I know if you're one of those that basically bought into, you've been building your own kingdom, I know you're miserable. Listen, you are so miserable, but you're supposed to be because it's your kingdom. But if you begin to seek the kingdom of God, if you begin to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and begin to let all that go. Just let it go. Just let it go. And whatever stands through that, when you reboot your life back in God again, that's what's of God.
Right.
And whatever dies off is hay, wood, and stubble, right? It's all going to be tested by the fire. Why not just intentionally walk into the fire of saying, you know what? I don't know how I got, I was doing so well, and somebody bewitched me. Somebody cut in on me. I was running a good race, and you were running a good race, and somebody, what was begun in the spirit, and now look at you. Look at this. Come on. You're, of all the people there, you're the one that wants to walk out, and you're the one leading it. I said, one particular businessman said, he said, you know, when you start working for a particular company that you don't want to work there anymore, you just kind of dread even showing up, you know, at work. Mm-hmm. It's really bad. He says, but it's really way worse when it's your company.
Right.
Right. And it's
I can relate to that.
And you're the one preaching the gospel. You're the one saying that God is good. You're the one inviting people there. And you're the first one. If God said leave, you'd be the first one out the door.
Mm.
Sir, ma'am, that means it's a sign. Mm. That's a sign that something's not right. Something's not right because the gospel that you're preaching is true, but the one that you're living is not. Oh, no, listen. Many people are going to come to Jesus, he said, in that day, which no man knows when it's going to be. It could be tomorrow, it could be tonight.
That's all right.
And say, Lord, Lord, did we not in your name minister, preach, teach, cast out demons, prophesy? In other words, all these gifts that came to us naturally. And then Jesus is going to say, this is Jesus talking. Then I'm going to plainly, I mean, he didn't say I'm going to tell them. He said, then I'm going to plainly, which you could say clearly, you know, no blur here, you know, no cloud. Mm-hmm. I never knew you. Think about that.
Mm.
You told everybody that God knew you. You told everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wore his stuff. You held his word.
Mm.
You built buildings and put his name on it. You got cards with his name on it. You told everybody he knew you. And they're going to stand in the line at the judgment seat behind you, waiting for their turn either to go be a sheep or a goat as he separates them. And they're going to be so shocked when you go over there with the goats.
Mm.
He's a goat. He's a weed. I mean, wouldn't you, like, oh my goodness, we were following a weed. It was a goat, right? The wheat and the tares.
That's right.
He's a weed. Oh, dear God, forgive us, Lord. We were following a weed.
Say what?
We were following, because we were following the gifts. We forgot that we were following a sign. We forgot the signs were supposed to follow us, and he or she taught us that we were supposed to follow them because they had a sign, but the signs were supposed to point to you. We begin to worship men and angels and messengers that are worshiping God. Many will be deceived. You know what? You'll be a goat too if you don't make a decision today. There's no witnesses or suspects. You can't point at the weed that you were following or the goat that you were following. There is no scapegoat at the throne of God. Now is your time. Today is your day. I mean, you just don't ever know. You just don't know. You just don't know when your time's going to be. And you're not worried about it if you've already made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, but you're terrified. Everything is about how do you live longer. It's like Jiminy Crickets. It's time to preach the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Listen, Reverend Russell Moore is saying it, a leader in the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm so excited to hear about that the Southern Baptist Convention, they're beginning to pray for revival in America. Ever how it comes, God send revival, and God's beginning to speak into the hearts of leaders across the nation, crying out, God, they know that it's just going to be revival. And I just stand in agreement to say, dear God, send revival to America. Send a third great awakening. I just join my heart and faith, and I encourage all of our listeners and our viewers, you know, listen, we need God. There's one Lord, one Savior, one Spirit, and if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and he is the Lord, and you're in his kingdom. We are family, and let's stand together and deal with our sin. Let's repent from our wickedness, cry out to God, and God will hear us, and he will heal our land.